The Rot Rally is in town, and I think they go out to COTA this time. So if you are on the bikes, you probably can't hear me right now because of the bike, but so glad they get to get back to that event, and really glad that we get to have the mullet open again, and that Bucky and the crew are going to be out there and have been out there today doing all the things that they've been doing with the mullet open. It is the 20th year of the mullet open. We're going to talk to Bucky here in just a second. Let me update you on baseball. 2-0 Vanderbilt is still that score. And we are headed to, oh, now it's done. It's done. 2-0. I thought we were just headed to the ninth. I missed the bottom of the ninth, or the top of the ninth, I should say. 2-0 Vandy. The first win of the Super Regionals belongs to the Commodores. Coming up here in just a couple of minutes, they will start in Lubbock. Stanford and Texas Tech, Arkansas and NC State will crank it up at about 5, and it is an 8 o'clock start for Ole Miss and Arizona. I gotta think that's a party environment. The folks from Oxford headed out to Tucson. There's gonna be a lot of red, white, and blue, and a lot of partying going on at that Super Regional. We'll see how everybody comes out. Obviously, Texas plays tomorrow night. All right, speaking of a place where they like to party a little bit, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline and bring in the legend himself. You hear him with Aaron each and every weekday morning. He is Bucky Godbolt, and he is once again trying to wrangle the beasts at the Mullet Open. What's up, Bucky?
Yeah, I'm not doing too much wrangling. I'm laying down in my room right now, getting ready to prepare to take a shower, go back up, and get ready for the festivities. But we're probably about 2 hours away from doing that. So it went off just as smooth as can be. It was nice to see people I hadn't seen in a year. Everybody was having a good time. Christy Cakes, she was there from Cakes Rock, and of course. Some of our new sponsors were there, and they were inside in the air conditioning this year. So
nice.
And the event will be held in the air conditioning, but it's a great cause, and just to see all the people that we didn't see last year, and it's just gotten to be, I don't know, it's gotten to be like a private deal now. All of a sudden, Chad, it's a 18 team waiting list that was trying to get in for this year. And as I said, I've said it on occasions, we're going to have to do something a little different, that we go this time of the year and maybe in the fall sometime and grab a great charity. But it's gotten to be, it's always been fun, but and the Hyatt does such a great job, and Wolf Dancer and Tito's and Brown Distributing, they put on quite a display. Cavendish has an incredible display here today, and you know, people like Ariat Boots, who just came on board, and you know, our group at Austin Cocktails, the ladies who are just going to go big time are here today, and it's fun.
Yeah, I heard the Austin Cocktails crew on with Aaron and Brad this morning talking about their products. That sounds incredible. And you know, every year there's so many of the different partners helping you guys out with this tournament. Talk to me about more of that normalcy, because we all know what golf can be for people and the relaxation of it. But like you said, this has turned into a really community for you and the people that are coming out. Like, how cool was that to see people, you know, I'm sure they played a little golf here and there, but to get back to a Mullet Open and, you know, get back in the foursomes and get back out there, how excited was everybody just to, you know, feel normal again?
Well, let me say this. Anybody who was playing that didn't have a mask on. Nobody in the pavilion. We were just, and there's hugs galore and handshakes and pats on the back and more hugs and more kisses, and it was just great to see everybody back. And you know, the opening speech was, you know, it was it's been a tough year on all of us, but you know, with the grace of God, I mean, we're here, we're back again this year. We may have lost some along the way, but it's just, I just told them how much I missed them, and coach, you know, how much I missed the event last year. And they were as I said, this isn't the fifth, this isn't the 10th, this isn't the 15th, but it's the 20th annual Mullet Open, 20 years, and it survived, and it's made it through, and it's helped an awful lot of people, from the Salvation Army to, you know, for what we're doing with Refuge Ranch and the boys over in Driftwood. It's fun to be around these kind of people that want to give. And I mean, I don't know what to say. It's this is a whirlwind for me. This is 20 years, and I probably average 6 months out of a year preparing for one day only. That's what it, from humble beginnings with Gary Clark Jr. playing his guitar down there at the Hyatt on Town Lake, to to now, it's something special. It's from then, and Tito's given us one case of Tito's to about $50,000 in product, and the man himself is a billionaire. So
yeah,
it's different.
Oh, no, it's amazing. And by the way, if people want to go to hornfm.com, you can find out more information about the Mullet Open. You can find out about some of those incredible causes and partners that Bucky's talking about. Bucky, you and I talked specifically about the Refuge Ranch and Burke Center for Youth around the time that I was trying and unsuccessfully eating donuts. But thanks to our guy, Tom McKay, you know, he was helping us out with a little bit of that. Talk to people a little bit about those two specifically. And you mentioned Salvation Army as well. There's a lot of fun that goes on out there, but this thing is led with your big heart and a lot of the hearts of a lot of other people that are, you know, just trying to help those that need it.
Yeah. I mean, these people give during the course of the year. That the Mullet Open is the party. We raise money for them for sure with Tito's. And, of course, some of the great partners that we do, like the Jones and Sprouse. I mean, people don't even know who the hell that is. Loop One, that was in our very building right there before they moved out a couple of years ago. And these are people that just ground distributing. They're coming from all walks, but these are people that donate to these causes during the course of the year, not just on one given day. So these guys, you know, talking about, of course, the Refuge Ranch, where the state of Texas is the number one sex traffic state in the country. I mean, 70,000 young men and women are sex trafficked here. And what they do here at Refuge Ranch and in Bastrop itself, they only house about 70 girls. That's the largest facility in the country, 79,000. This place houses 70 young women, and it's the largest facility in the country. So you think something so important you'd have these facilities all over this country. You don't. It's something people don't want to talk about. They don't want to talk about sex trafficking. They don't. There's a lot of things that involve sex trafficking. You know, there's big time people that are involved in this. This isn't something where young girls are being taken across the border. We're talking about domestic. You know, domestically, what's going on? You know, young girls on the computers. You know, these type of things. It's a problem.
And obviously, the Mullet Open is about you know, helping those causes, and like you said, it's continued to grow 20 years overall today. I know it's another one of those hot days out there. Was everybody staying hydrated? What is it, like 95 again today?
Well, if you'd heard BK interviewing the girls from the cocktail thing, you'd have made him think that he was already drinking early this morning, like 6 o'clock. When can I get some of those cocktails in me? But
yeah, he sounded like he might have been trying to get a date too.
Yeah, it sounds like it. They hydrated. We have plenty of water. I've made 4 runs to Costco since I got my new Costco card. So it's been they're hydrated. We've got clean water products, and we've got Gatorade. We have all kinds of stuff. So they'll be fine. And you know, for years and years and years, I had Lost Pines out here, and especially Wolf Dance Golf Course was not in class then. When they would come off of this thing, when it'd be over 100 degrees, they would come in just to a pavilion setting with fans. And so now these guys and gals, and there's so many women playing today. I mean, it's incredible. It's just amazing. But they will come off to air conditioning, and of course, Louis Miller Barbecue is doing. They're just arriving right now.
Oh, nice!
Prepped up for brisket and sausage and chicken and. Wayne Miller, the chef, he's incredible. This is their dime. We don't pay a thing. They do this for free. He's feeding over 200 people. And have you seen the price of meat lately?
Oh yeah, it's a good point. Good point. And I've had that. I've had the Miller's barbecue. That's a whole nother level of barbecue too. That's not just any old meat, Bucky.
Oh no, that's top quality stuff. And he puts out a spread and. He does some other stuff and putting his barbecue sauce on the tables. And when these guys arrive back, the guys and gals come back from this, all the stuff will be all set out. And Trevor will have pictures of what a $5 raffle ticket can get you. I mean, we're talking about stuff over $200, $300 just in the $5 raffle. And you go up and pick your own. We don't give you numbers. We just say your name. We pull it out of the hat and go, and you pick whatever you want first. Austin Billy. I mean, but there's over 30 prizes that are in the $10 raffle, the big raffle, over 30.
Wow. That's
so it's an amazing sight when you walk in here. And if you've been at golf tournaments, you're just happy if your name gets called for, I don't know, a $25 gift card somewhere. Here, it's everybody will leave with something today. Every player in this tournament will go home with something.
That is awesome. Awesome stuff. Bucky's joining us here on the Horn, and we're talking Mullet Open, the 20th Mullet Open. So, Bucky, I know you are, because you're so busy with it and putting things together, you're not out on the course today, but do you cruise around on a cart at all? Were you able to locate Trey Elling to figure out if he's helping his group in any way?
No, Chad, I'll just say I've never played in the Mullet Open. I've never played a hole in the Mullet Open. Yesterday morning at around 7:30, the truck came to my house. We unloaded all of my garages and my shed of all the stuff that I've collected for 6 months. We loaded that up. I came out and helped him unload the stuff, and then I played around with some sponsors yesterday. I then, after the round, came back and put together the whole thing is all that we put it set up. The Texas Cheaters were there last night. BK came there last night. I then went to bed for a couple hours and then got back up over there at 3 o'clock and then sent them off. So this right now is, I don't want to even know what's happening on the course. I get about 2 hours, close my eyes for about 2 hours. Then I go back up and this thing won't end until about 7:38 o'clock. So that's what it is. That's the 6 month culmination. And for the next 72 hours, it's like nonstop for me. That's it. That's what makes me tick right there, is to do all that stuff.
Well, it's certainly appreciated by a whole lot of people. I know a lot of folks were excited about it. Tom McKay called earlier, and he had to go to work a little bit, but then he's heading back out there from audiovisual consultations. And there's so many of those partners of the stations that are helping out. So congrats once again on getting it cranked back up for its 20th year. Y'all have a great time out there, and get a little rest after it's all over, will you?
Thank you, my friend. I'll do just that.
There you go. Thanks, Buck. Bucky Godbolt, it is the Mullet Open. And again, go to hornfm.com. You hear him talking about the Refuge Ranch, the Burke Center for Youth, the Salvation Army. There's some great causes that Bucky's been involved in for the last few years, if not maybe all 20 years, where you can go if you want to go donate and you're unable to be on the list. Again, that list got frozen last year with COVID, and they just, you know, stopped everything where it was, and then a waiting list developed after that. So that's where Bucky's talking about maybe trying to figure out, is there going to need to be like a mullet two, a double mullet, an Arkansas waterfall, if you will. No, that's not the right name. We shouldn't do that. Not in Texas. But there may need to be another situation, another tournament to deal with all the people that want to play. So congrats to Bucky and the whole crew out there. There's a lot of folks from the station out there today doing hard work in 90-something degree weather. So a big shout-out to them. HornFM.com if you want to donate and help out the great causes. So, again, if you just tuned in, we do have a final at the Super Regional level. 2-0 Vanderbilt. Vandy gets the win. They are the number four overall seed, so that is not a shock. They are obviously hosting that Super Regional. So 2-0. They are up 1-0 and a win away from Omaha. Stanford and Texas Tech just about to get started, and we got a listener texting in, thanks to T-Bone for being our updated, giving us the update here. Says it's currently 101 degrees in Lubbock. Poor Stanford. Advantage Tech. In terms of the weather, yes, it is. You want to talk about two teams that are used to playing in different climates? That's it. Stanford and Texas Tech getting after it. Top of the first, they're just getting started. But how about this? Stanford's already put a run on the board. Heat's not bothering them yet. 1-0 Stanford already. Get you a couple other updates on that. 5 o'clock is NC State and Arkansas. 8 o'clock our time is Ole Miss and Arizona. And, of course, Texas and South Florida go at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. 7:45 pregame. That's what Saturday's game looks like. Sunday's game is the same with an 8 o'clock start. If they need to on Monday, it is set right now as a 3 o'clock, but it could get moved to 6. So we'll get to that if we need it. This is obviously a situation that sets up pretty well for Texas as the number two overall seed. If you're just jumping in, Trey Elling, again, out at the Mullet Open. No word on whether or not he actually played any good golf today. He's playing in the Mullet Open today along with his brother and others. We hope they're having a great time out there at the tournament. So I'm Chad Hastings, John Reichel producing today. Do appreciate John, as always, for his great work. He's playing B-sides, the songs from the B-sides of albums, and I got to figure out the A-side, the best, the big hit on the album on the A-side of the album. I've done okay so far. I've done all right. I'm a little mad at myself for missing the Motorhead.
That's the only one you've missed, though.
It's the only one I've missed so far. I'm a little upset about that part, but hey, so far 3 for 4. We'll see what happens with these last two this hour. So always great to see John, and we were talking about crowds today because the Dish crowd is going to be there tomorrow. Your favorite crowd moments is what we've been talking about. Actually, these last couple of days, I just kept it going from yesterday. So we're getting a lot of different thoughts on that. We'll get back into that. Somebody just texted, Bucky is an amazing human being with exclamation points. I agree with you. And that's why I wanted to have him on today. He does an incredible thing every year with that golf tournament. And like he said, it's good to be around people that just want to give. And that's exactly what happens with that tournament. Somebody says, Living Color, speaking of, Living Color playing in Cedar Park in a couple months. In a what?
What?
With Everclear. Who? I got to check that out, man. Got to get myself back in the swing of checking for concerts.
For real.
I do actually have a couple. I have a couple that, you know, I have tickets for. I'm excited about that. I'm going to see the first one, I think, is the Black Crowes in August. And then my dad and I are going to go see Judas Priest in October. The Def Leppard show got moved. My wife is crushed. The Def Leppard, Motley Crue, Joan Jett, Poison show got moved to next year. We don't know if Mick Mars of Motley Crue will survive that long. Mick looked like he was going to die for the last 20 years. We hope he makes it to next year. I have to check that Living Color show out. I did not realize that they were coming back through. If you're just jumping in, we've got all that going on in baseball. You've got the NBA playoffs last night. How about Kevin Durant and Brooklyn actually getting a little pushback from Milwaukee? Did you see that? What did I say yesterday had to happen for Milwaukee? One of the key ingredients is that Chris Middleton had to be great. Well, he scored 35. Middleton and the Freak outscored anybody for Brooklyn. Now, that's the recipe. And they're just going to need to shoot really, really well. I don't know if they can keep doing it. I don't know if they can continue that kind of pace, but they did get it done last night, found some defense when they needed it. And the fact that that game ended 86-83, that's a huge bit of confidence for Milwaukee fans. That's like, if you can drag Brooklyn into that game multiple times, maybe you got a shot. The problem is the math I gave you at the beginning of the playoffs. When those three guys play together, including Harden, they were 5-2 during the regular season, small sample size, but 5 out of 7 means probably you're going to have a tough time beating them 4 out of 7. And now you're in a situation, if you are Milwaukee, where you have to beat them 4 out of 5. They were up 2-0 on you. You got to win 4 out of 5. That is tough to do. So they've gotten the first one out of the way, and they are at 2-1 in that series. Utah beat the Clippers last night. Clippers tried to put a run together, but fell short. Donovan Mitchell's having a series, 37-3-4, and Utah is up 2-0 in that one. Tonight, Philly at Atlanta, 6:30, and a one-all series, and they're back in Atlanta. They're 2 Atlanta for Game 3. That's going to be a wild game to watch tonight. Phoenix at Denver. Phoenix can really take control. If they could steal one in Denver and go up 3-0, then that series is effectively over. We'll see if Denver has a response with their MVP, Mr. Jokic, tonight. Also, still talking about that expanded 12-team college football playoff. Lots of it sounds good to me. There's a couple little details that I'm not necessarily thrilled about, but just to give you an idea, let's go back in time a little bit. If you had a 12-team playoff, let's go back to 2013. How about OU at Baylor as a playoff game? That could have happened in Waco if you go home sites. How about 2012? In this region, one of the crazy teams in 2012 that people got into would be your Heisman winner, Johnny Manziel, and A&M. How about A&M at LSU as an 8-9 matchup as a playoff game? If you go home sites. How about the year before when a guy named Robert Griffin III won the Heisman in 2011? Baylor at Oregon, a 5-12 matchup that year. Kind of cool. TCU would have been a 3 seed in 2010. Texas and TCU would have had byes in 2009. Texas would have had a bye, and Texas Tech and TCU would have been in 2008. Remember the year that the computers and just lack of logic screwed the Longhorns? They would have been a team with a bye if you take those top four seeds and let them have a bye. I really love the idea overall, but the one thing you can't do, there are some people that bitch about the over-respect for Notre Dame and sometimes they're slotting in the process. That one doesn't bother me because Notre Dame is an entity that needs to be respected here. Power Five and Notre Dame. That's why I've always said you need six spots. You go twice that, no problem. But here's what you can't do. Don't tell me the top six ranked conference champions. Don't do that. Because now I'm scared that if that sixth team, if let's say the Power Five, excuse me, the Group of Fives just don't have a great year, and you slide all the way down and you go, well, we got our Power Fives, the next highest ranked conference champion, hey, sorry, Chad, it's UCF. Well, what are they ranked? Oh, you know, they're ranked 19th, but they won the conference and we told them they'd get in. They shouldn't. They should not get in. Now, two of them should get in. Two of the Group of Five should have gotten in last year, Cincinnati and Coastal. But since we started the CFP format, there are 3 years where a Group of Five didn't get in or wouldn't have gotten in if you let 12 in on the final rankings. A couple years, there's one in. Last year, there should have been two. But you've got to make it that. Best 12 teams. And if you think about the logic of it. The conference championship game, the more I think about it, I don't know if we need to state clearly if you win this game, you will be in every time. What you need to do is just realize if, say, North Carolina plays Clemson in that ACC title game, if the win, if beating that number one, number two, number three ranked team for Mac Brown's crew, if that gets them into the top 12 discussion, well, then it's kind, it sort of becomes a play-in game, if you see what I mean. It gives them an opportunity to get a big win. Now, you could also have an argument on the other side about what it does for Clemson. But in this system, like it or not, some people won't like this, there is a little, in a way, there's less pressure on Clemson in terms of getting in. They know they're getting in. But what if Clemson's playing for a bye? That's big, too. We see it in the NFL all the time where teams are playing for that bye week versus not playing for it. That's something that's obviously some, you know, obviously it is something that you want. And if you're going four teams every year that get the bye, that could be big. So I really like the idea. I'm hoping in the next week or so we get that type of system. By the way, I didn't mention this one. I'm always interested to go back and look at that 04 Texas team, the Vince run to the Michigan win. Texas would have been a 6 seed in a 12-team bracket, and they would have played Iowa. Oh, home game, by the way. Did I mention that? Longhorn fans? Would you have gone to that? Would you have gone to DKR? Vince and Texas hosting a playoff game? It's a pretty interesting idea, but you got to figure out what to do with those top four seeds as well. Do you take the home games, give them to 5 through 8, and not give them to 1 through 4? They got to figure all that out, and I'm sure they will. All right, coming up, it's why June 11th matters. We got some food. We got some birthdays. We got all kinds of stuff going on. We will let you know about it. A little bit of June 12th as well tomorrow, because there's a big birthday we need to mention once again. Stay with us. Get your stems and seeds before we are done as well as we wrap up the week here on the Horn. It sounds like one of those dangerous builds. Sounds like something I really enjoy until a certain guy starts singing. Is he about to start singing? Is it about to be that guy? Is Geddy Lee about to start singing?
What band?
Is it Rush?
It is Rush.
All right.
This was a bit of a troll on my part.
It's okay.
I know that you have mixed emotions about Rush.
I do have mixed emotions, yes. So if I get this wrong, I will not be crushed. Since it's Rush, I'm just gonna not think and say the hit that this is on the other side of Tom Sawyer.
Ring a ding ding.
There
you
we
got
go.
It. Right. I know. Since it was Rush, I gave you a little bit of a supple. Yes, this is the Camera Eye, the B side to Tom Sawyer on their album Moving Colors.
There he is. There's Geddy. What's up, Geddy? Oh, man, that is one talented band. There's no doubt about that. Are you a Rush guy?
I am a Rush guy.
Yeah? You ever seen them live?
I have not, unfortunately.
I bet that's a show.
Oh, yeah, they would kill it. But they wouldn't kill it in the after party. They're a bunch of nerds.
Yeah, exactly. No. They're going to sleep early.
There's lots of stories of them having, like, floor-wide hotel parties, and they're locked up in a room, like, watching TV or playing, video games and go to bed.
That is awesome. All right, there you go. John's doing a little A and B side stuff for me today. Playing the B side, I got to figure out what the hit is on the A side, and so far I've gotten all but one, and sadly that one was Motorhead. I apologize for all you Motorhead fans, but basically here's my excuse. The early Motorhead stuff, when I got into it, it was a greatest hits album. They did an album called No Remorse, and so all the stuff, the old stuff, Ace of Spades and No Class and Jailbait and all that stuff, I heard it as a group of like greatest hits, so I don't think of it as this was on that album. So I guessed Ace of Spades. I was wrong. It was the Overkill record, and John got me on that one. So a little education for me that No Class and Overkill are on the same album. So we've had some good musical stuff going today, as always. Appreciate John for his great work. Let's get into why today matters, and we'll start with a good text from one of you. Here we go.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
All right, we'll get to a couple birthdays here in a second, but I saw this text. I thought it might be good to read here, why June 11th matters. They're thinking of a 12-team playoff, but at least one of our listeners does not like the idea. Check this one out. This will kill college football. Whoa. It will be the final now. Big games in September will no longer be big games in September. Let me stop right there. See, this is something I definitely disagree with. Yes, they will. Why would they not be big anymore? I don't understand. You're telling me Georgia and Clemson's not going to matter? The winner's still undefeated and on the way and on the way to maybe getting a bye. The loser is in danger of slipping out of the playoff? You don't think that's a big deal? All right, I'll continue. The NFL is a watered-down product in the playoffs now. Don't agree. Love the NFL playoffs. The NFL light, which is what the college game would become, it would be even worse. It's quite obvious. The people that do not love college football are behind this. It's people that love the NFL style of football that are behind this. If by NFL style you mean two teams play in a playoff system and there are opportunities to get into that system, and then if you win through that system, you get a championship, yep. Call it NFL if that's what you mean. I don't understand what you mean by college. You're trying to kill college football. Are you trying to go all the way back? You want to go all the way back, just have like no records, no titles, no championships. Go back before they got that committee together to decide who the national champions are. Let's just have all these bowl alignments and let's just play and then let people talk about who's the best. Don't actually determine who's the best. Come on. If we're going to make the kids risk their lives, maybe we make them risk their lives for something that makes sense. This says a home playoff game is worth more to a school than a first round bye, in my opinion. You might be right. The ticket, hotel, restaurant money would be insane. Round two needs to be a home playoff game for teams ranked 1-4 to balance incentives and motivation. See, that point right there is something they're going to absolutely have to look at. I think they may need to go all or nothing because of that theory. And I said this the other day, and I'll use the example again. Do you really want to turn to Alabama and Clemson if they're the 1-2 seed? And say, take your week off, then we'll see you at a bowl game. While you're turning to North Carolina, who's in Clemson's conference, and Auburn, that's in Bama's conference, and say, hey, you guys ready for your home games this week? I don't know. I'm not sure if they'd enjoy that. I gotta feel like those fan bases might want to have it right there in their own backyard. But could you get the TV networks and the bowls and everybody to agree to, hey, we're going to go two rounds of home sites, and then we're going to the bowls? The whole point now should be they should be lessening the number of bowls, but they also need, if you're going to keep a certain number of bowls, you have got to make more of them matter. So I think that's one thing that they are going to look at it. Somebody says, I guess the jinx works so far. 4-0 Stanford, top of the second. Is that really happening? Hey, 4-0 Stanford, top of the second. You know what? if it works, it works. 101 degrees in Lubbock, clearly an advantage for Texas Tech. That was the point that one of our listeners made earlier in the show. All right, as far as some other reasons why today might matter for you on June 11th, how about the birthday of one of the best football coaches that ever lived, Vince Lombardi? Yep, he would have been 108 years old today, died back in 1970. If you need the old school, hopefully you don't know this one already, unless you're Kevin Dunn. Fordham is where Vince Lombardi went to school. One of my favorite comedians and actors of all time, Gene Wilder, would have been 88 years old today. He left us back in 2016. I love myself some Gene Wilder. His Willy Wonka is the only Willy Wonka that is acceptable. Mr. Depp, I am not trying to dog you out there. Well, maybe I am. I like you. That performance made no sense. Only the Willy Wonka with Gene Wilder. Musically, Frank Beard is 72 today. Frank Beard is the drummer of ZZ Top. So, yes, he's the only guy in the band that doesn't have a beard, and his name is Beard. He's also a really good drummer. Happy birthday to Frank. Also, I know the argument is over for many, 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 many people. But for me, I'm on the other side of the argument. Happy birthday to Joe Montana. He's 65 years old today, and even though I'm a Bucks fan and I witnessed what I just witnessed, Joe Montana is the greatest quarterback my eyes have ever seen play in the NFL. That's just where I am. One big drive, one big moment, one big thing is needed, and I don't know anything of what's going on. I'll take Joe. That's just me. And a young kid named Tom Brady used to agree with that. I'm sure Tom would take himself now, too. Tom's a hell of a quarterback. I'll still lean Joe. I mentioned Bruce Robinson's birthday earlier. Happy birthday to Bruce once again. Hopefully he's having a great birthday at 55. If you're a Game of Thrones fan, Tyrion Lannister himself, Peter Dinklage is 52 today. I mentioned Diana Taurasi has a birthday. And tomorrow, we got two big old round birthdays for two legends. Marv Albert is going to be 80 tomorrow in his last year doing the NBA and broadcasting, I think, overall. I don't think Marv's going to be doing anything after he retires. So happy retirement to Marv, and happy birthday tomorrow, the 5-0 for Mark Henry. Happy birthday to the world's strongest man. Best of luck with the AEW move, and hope everything is going well with you and the family. Mark is a fan of the station. He calls in from time to time to talk all kinds of different stuff. He loves his Longhorns. He loves Austin, and he's been a good guy to the station, to us, to me over the years, and he and I have become I think somewhat friends, certainly guys that can talk a little wrestling. He is a kind soul in one of the most impressive bodies that God ever put on this planet. Mark Henry is an imposing figure. He has literally, let's remember, when we call Mark Henry the world's strongest man, it's not because he just thought it up. It's because Mark Henry years ago was in a competition, like a legendary, brought everybody together competition where they wanted to determine, hey, who is the world's strongest man? And he won it. He won a competition. It wasn't some wrestling, you know, gimmick that said, hey, let's call him the world's strongest. No. He actually won one of those things, actually multiple of those things. I don't think it was just one event. He's won multiple events to determine, to be able to call himself the world's strongest man. So happy birthday to Mark Henry tomorrow. Hope he has a great birthday and a great weekend. Hope you do as well. Before we get out of here, we'll reiterate that score from Lubbock, where Texas Tech is already having a tough time with Stanford. Get you some couple other stems and seeds before we are done. Got to get you set up for that Texas Super Regional as well. Will the Longhorns be headed back to Omaha? Whatever happens, remember, you're going to hear it all right here on the Horn. All right, I feel like I'm being led into a trap now. All right, so this is clearly Smoke on the Water.
That's right.
By Deep Purple.
That is correct. So, Ding, you got the band. So this is my explanation for this.
All right.
So, it is the B-side of the album, and it's the reverse of another big hit by this band on the other side.
All right, so you're saying this is this is towards the end of the album. It's on the B-side, but there's a bigger hit.
There is an as big of a hit.
As big of a hit.
It's debatable, but it's like if Spotify is anything to be believed.
Wow. Oh, man. My lack of overall Deep Purple catalog knowledge is probably going to hurt me here. Smoke on the Water. No, I don't think that's them. Bring Zappa and the Mothers. Such a great song. Oh, wow. I don't think it's them, but all I can think, the only song in my head, name in my head is like Mississippi Queen, but that's not Deep Purple. Who? What's the
Nope, that is Mountain who sings.
Mountain sings Mississippi Queen.
Right. And this is Highway Star is the top song.
I was never getting that one. Well played. You got me on the Deep Purple. I didn't realize Smoke on the Water was on the B-side.
It's the starting track on the B-side of the album, and Highway Star is the opener of the album Machine Head.
Dude, that is some serious music snobbery on your part. Well played. You know I appreciate the music snobbery, and we do on this show. The other music snob, Trey Elling, is out on the golf course, or maybe he's done now, but he's out at the Mullet Open today. So John Reichel's producing, and he's been playing B-sides for me throughout the show, and I've got to guess what the big song is on the A-side. I got all but two. I missed the Deep Purple and I missed the Motorhead. Please don't tell my dad. So he'll actually he'll talk to me the next time. You'll actually see me the next time it's possible. Getting a lot of good reaction on the Specs text line, 337-3776, talking about this college football playoff idea. This says, what about paying the top four a good amount for receiving the bye to balance out that round one home game? Maybe. I just don't know. I don't know what administrations, coaches, and teams are going to think. Do you love the bye week? Yes, you do. But the difference, of course, in the NFL is if I get the bye in the NFL, I know I'm at home. We play home games all the time. Will the bowl structure still matter to the committee and to who's putting this together? Again, I'll go back to this little ingredient. Bob Bowlsby and Sankey are getting together as a part of this little small group, along with Notre Dame's AD and the AD of the Mountain West. The Big 12 and the SEC took the money from the Sugar Bowl years ago. They got in bed together and they decided, hey, why are we giving all this money to those guys in the jackets? Why don't we split this money? And that's what they do every year when they have a Sugar Bowl. And there is, when the Sugar Bowl is a Big 12 SEC matchup, those conferences split all of it, and I mean down to the nacho money. They split everything. So I wonder if those kind of relationships are at play here, or do the guys in the bright jackets matter, and they're just going to make more of those games important? We will see. Somebody asked a scary question. Any chance Timothy Chalamet will be a good Willy Wonka in the upcoming movie? I'm going to pretend like that's not even happening. I'm going to pretend like that's not even a real thing. Somebody says, happy radio anniversary, Chad. I do appreciate that. Yes, coming up on 22 years from the day that I've marked it in radio. Thanks to all of you for making that possible, because you didn't have to do that. You could have gone on some weird canceling campaign and ended it a long time ago, but you didn't do that. I appreciate it. One of our listeners has tried to jinx Texas Tech earlier, and so far it's working. Top three. You know what? Let's go stems and seeds here. We'll start with this Texas Tech update. Here we go. No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks. Got to tell you about AV Consultations, 255-8678, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. They bring you stems and seeds every day. Stanford up on Tech, 4-0 now. 4 runs on 5 hits already for the Cardinal. Top of the third, Stanford up 4-0. Earlier, Vanderbilt won 2-0 over East Carolina, so they get the first win of the Super Regionals. A little bit later on, it's NC State and number one overall Arkansas. A little bit later than that, it's Ole Miss and Arizona in what I'm just going to call the party atmosphere of the weekend. No way that's not fun. The folks in Oxford probably packed up a couple of chandeliers and headed to Tucson. That can't be a bad idea. Of course, Texas and South Florida will play tomorrow at 8 o'clock, 7:45 on that pregame. Another update for you. You know I do love the world of tennis, and I am following the French Open a little bit. And there's always history on the line when Rafael Nadal is on the court. He and Novak Djokovic are getting together in the semis, in case you didn't know that. It's a tight one. They're in the third set apiece. Rafael Nadal just had a string of like 21 straight sets won, something like that, 21 or 31 or 28 or whatever it was. Just stupid strings this guy's putting together. Going for number 14, I believe it is, at the French. Whoever wins this match will take on Stefanos Tsitsipas. The 5 seed is going to the final. Nadal and Djokovic locked up in that other semifinal right now in Paris. So all of that is going on. We've been talking about the expanded playoff. We've been talking about your favorite crowd moments, and I will end it there because the crowd is back at the dish. They sold this thing out in about 4 minutes. All right, it wasn't that fast. It wasn't like a Garth Brooks or a Taylor Swift show, but they sold it out pretty fast. And Texas fans tomorrow night are going to create something that South Florida players may not be quite ready for. That atmosphere, that level of energy. So we've been talking about your favorite crowd moments today. Sometimes it's been sports. Sometimes it's music. All those things can happen. But earlier I defined it simply as the moment when you start to realize. Kevin Dunn joined me earlier. We were talking baseball. He saw Pearl Jam in San Sebastian, Spain. And he's told that story to me many times over the years. And I always imagine, what kind of scene was that? It's the moment when you start looking around the crowd and you realize something's happening. It's that moment that you realize everybody's got their phone out, or back in the day, everybody had the lighters. You know those moments? That's when it happens. I can remember seeing that as a kid. Didn't have a lighter at the time because I was too young. But I remember the lighters firing up. Like, for some reason, I remember this one. For you metalheads, remember the Scorpions, the song Still Loving You? I saw him one time live, and when that song started and the lighters went up and Klaus sang, "Time, another time to win back your love." They went into that whole, oh my God. It was amazing. It was incredible. It was a moment. It was a crowd moment, and we've been getting your favorites today, all kinds of moments over the years. Somebody's throwing out, oh, what is this? Oh, what is this? Foo Fighters at Coda? Oh, Kiss Guy was at Coda. I forgot about that. The Kiss Guy thing. Somebody was there when Foo Fighters introduced Kiss Guy. That's got to be a great show. I've never seen Foo Fighters live.
I've seen Foo Fighters live.
They've got to be putting on a good show.
They were great. I was going to tell you about that crowd moment. This was when Dave Grohl had his broken leg. Remember how he broke his leg on stage?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I went to their concert tour after that, the Break a Leg tour, and he had this big throne like made of guitars and amps, and it moved around on the stage.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and the whole crowd, like at the Gorge in Washington, led and learned to fly. That was an awesome moment.
Oh, Dave's awesome. Yeah, that's good stuff. Coda has been the scene of a few for me. I love that venue. I love the way concerts sound out there. There is something about that place. I don't quite know what it is. I know it can be a little bit of a hassle to get in and out, especially if you don't go way ahead of time. But I usually do because I'm kind of OCD about that stuff. And I want to see the whole show and all that. But I've seen some really good shows out there. There's just something about that place. I mentioned it the other day that the two times I saw a tribute to Prince after he died was one was the Dixie Chicks and the other was Duran Duran. And they both put up the purple lights and sang for Prince and stuff. And it was just really emotional. Crowd got into it. I know that crowd's going to get into it at the dish. Have a great time. Be safe out there at the dish. Get yourself plenty of Coors Light. And we'll see if the Longhorns can get back to Omaha. Up next, it is the triple option with RBKD. Enjoy your weekend. If you're out at the Mullet Open, have a great time. Shout out to Bucky and that crew for doing the great work that they continue to do each and every year. It is the 20th year of the Mullet Open. Go to hornfm.com if you want to donate to some of those great charities and causes that Bucky feels so strongly about. Again, hornfm.com. Have a great weekend. Trey's with you next week with all kinds of cool combinations. I will be back a week from Monday.